This is special coverage on the Park Fire from North State Public Radio. I'm Sarah Bohannon. It's been 9 days since the Park Fire started in Upper Bidwell Park in Chico. The fire continues to near 400,000 acres. Today at its afternoon press conference, CAL FIRE says most areas of the fire are holding well. The northeast side of the perimeter near the Mill Creek areas is the main concern as a change in the weather continues today. Critical weather conditions are expected, and officials say they've been getting prepared. We'll now turn to today's press conference.
Good afternoon. Brian Newman, the fire behavior analyst here on the park incident. So overall on the fire here on the southern end, things are looking really good. There's still crews in there working, make sure then that all the line we have secured is well secured, but overall things looking really good there. Moving further up, closer up to Red Bluff, things are again looking pretty decent in there. Crews are working hard to make sure the line we have secured holds and maintains its current location and doesn't have any problems. Going up here north of Highway 36, west of Payne's Creek, there is some areas up there that gave us some challenges over the past 24 to 36 hours. There is quite a bit of crews working in there and really working hard in that really thick brush to make sure that the fire holds where it's at. Still a lot of smoke being produced out of there and still some fire activity, but generally that area is looking much better than it had been the last few days. Coming across the top here, heading east of Payne's Creek and out towards Mineral, things are still looking secure, looking really good in there. Still some smoke production, still some areas of activity interior, but generally the fire is no longer progressing at this point. Further north, but there is still quite a bit of heat in there that we're looking at and making sure that is good and secure. Coming out here a little bit further out, Highway 36, much closer to Mineral, and then down towards the area between Highway 36 and Highway 32, that's where our main area of focus is. So there's quite a bit of activity in all the creek drainages, and they're really deep drainages here. So Antelope Creek area, there's three forks there in the river, so all those areas had a lot of work done on them in the last 24 to 36 hours, a lot of hand crews and bulldozers, and everyone really making a concerted effort to make sure that they could get that line held in there and really make a good point to try to get that forward progress stopped. Now, as we get down in here to the Mill Creek Canyon and Mill Creek drainage area, that's where our most fire activity is currently. So there's a lot of fire that's coming across up out of the drainages and up onto the ridgetop here, and it's producing the big columns of smoke that you're seeing today. So it's continued to progress up to the east and to the north. And as we get further down in here into Deer Creek, again, really steep drainages, really thick fuels in there. And so a lot of fire activity. That's also where we're seeing the big brunt of our activity in this area here. So a lot of heavy work going on in there. All of our crews in there are well engaged day and night, working in this really tough terrain to try to find a good spot to stop that fire up in there. So a lot of fire activity, a lot of really tough ground, but a lot of good work being done. As we come down on Highway 32 near Butte Meadows, again, a lot of good work's been done in the past few days. Overall, things are looking much better than they were a few days ago. Still a lot of smoke production in there, still a lot of heat interior in that really thick timbered area. But overall, things are holding much better than they had been a few days ago. And then as we progress further down Highway 32 in towards the Forest Ranch area, again, we have a lot of heat interior. Those stump holes and those trees and all that heavy fuel still has some heat and smoke in there, but nothing's challenging our control line. So things are looking much better in there compared to a number of days ago. And then again, continuing further down Highway 32 towards Chico, looking much, much better in those lighter fuels. Not much heat left in there, but we're still patrolling, making sure that everything looks really good overall, and just making sure the lines that we've secured are continuing to hold while we deal with the upcoming weather. So we do have some thunderstorms predicted for this evening and into tomorrow. Those are going to be well off to our east. We don't anticipate that they're going to come over the fire exactly, but we're really being cognizant about any outflow winds or anything that could affect the fire here. So we have our meteorologists here taking a good look day and night to make sure that any weather that could impact the fire, our crews out on the line are well aware of that. But generally, we're just seeing a few sprinkles here right now, but nothing that's really causing the fire to be extinguished. It's just a little bit of change in weather. And then as we look forward, we're going to kind of go into a hotter and drier period over the next couple of days. So something we're really preparing for. Thank you.
Now we would hear updates from the Tehama County Sheriff, Shasta County Sheriff, and our incident commander.
Good afternoon, Sheriff Dave Kane, Tehama County. I'd like to start this afternoon by highlighting some of the movement made in reducing evacuation orders and repopulating some areas of Tehama County based on the success of firefighting efforts. This morning around 11 a.m., we began the repopulation process of the Campbellville community. This is a rural community. It's located in the southeast corner of Tehama County, just above Cohasset. We had law enforcement staff in the community all day to help facilitate as the public moved back in and provide safety information. I'd like to remind residents of Campbellville, the area is still hot, potentially dangerous, and will be a thoroughfare to continued firefighting efforts. I would encourage residents of destroyed residences to leave them undisturbed, as they could have safety concerns for them, as well as impacts to potential reimbursement in the future. For any additional concerns regarding that information, you can contact Tehama County Environmental Health and Public Health. The affected zones reduced from ordered to warning in that area are 734, 854D, 858, 882C, 854A, 856, and 882B. Just a reminder, these zones will be reduced to a warning. I'd like to encourage everyone in those areas as you return to be prepared. The fire is still unpredictable and things may change, and we may need to do potential evacuation in the future if conditions were to change significantly. After consulting with CAL FIRE, we also have reduced evacuation orders to warnings in the following areas: Zone 444, 462B, and 408. These zones are located immediately west of the Dale Station area. I want to give you an update on an incident that I reported yesterday in regards to theft. We had a reported theft yesterday of equipment from a fire contractor's vehicle reported to our agency here at the fairgrounds in Tehama County yesterday morning. Deputies and investigators from our office obtained video surveillance from a motel in the city of Red Bluff where the vehicle was parked. In the video surveillance, a subject rode up to the vehicle on a bicycle, obtained approximately $1,200 worth of tools from the bed of his truck. Our staff was able to identify the suspect as Ramon Ruelas, age 39, of Red Bluff. Our staff immediately got to work looking for Ruelas and the stolen property. After contacting nearly 100 people during the follow-up investigation, deputies received information about the possible whereabouts of the stolen property and Ruelas. When checking the area, they identified where Ruelas had been staying. At that location, the deputies recovered all of the stolen property. The property has since been returned to the rightful owner, who was super appreciative. The hunt for Ruelas continues as we're doing this press release. This message is directly to Ramon: turn yourself in. If you don't, you're going to make things harder on yourself, your friends, and your family. As we attempt to determine your whereabouts, we will arrest all those in violation of the law and who have warrants. So by the time you get to the jail, there may be people you know there. Ruelas has been contacted by law enforcement in excess of 100 times. Upon locating Ruelas and arresting him, he will be placed in one of our habitual offender beds in the Tehama County Jail. See you soon, Ramon. In closing, I'd like to remind our citizens, as we begin to open and repopulate our communities, there are many potential dangers still present. Be aware that the roadways are narrow and being shared by fire apparatus, road crews, power crews, and law enforcement. Drive appropriately and carefully. Protect yourself and those that are protecting and serving our community. Be aware of potential dangers associated with hot spots of the fires, overhead dangers such as trees and down wires, as well as possible caustic chemicals or debris and burned out structures. Be aware that current private roads are open now, but may be closed and locked in the future as the event moves, trapping you behind on private property in fire zones. I appreciate everyone's patience and understanding as I assure you our job is to get you home quickly and safely as possible. We will continue to assess daily the status of the fire and the ability to lift additional evacuation orders and efforts to get people home. I would ask our citizens just to remember, as we lift some of the evacuation orders, they will downgrade to warnings. Please be vigilant and aware of what's going on around you and prepare to evacuate again if it is necessary. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Under Sheriff Randall, Shasta County Sheriff's Office. At this hour in Shasta County, we still have a number of areas that are under evacuation in Shingletown, the Manton area. We also have a number of which that are under warnings as well. Presently, we have 24 zones under evacuation warning, affecting approximately 2,600 of our residents. Additionally, we have 10 zones under evacuation order affecting approximately 670 people. This morning, we were able to release 14 zones that have been under evacuation warning, place them in a normal status with no restrictions. This morning, we were also able to release 9 zones that had been under evacuation order and have them downgraded to warnings. Residents returning home whose zones remain under evacuation warning must remember that an evacuation warning means there is still the potential to threat to life and property. Residents should also drive safely, as Sheriff Kane had said, because we're going to have a lot of fire and utility crews in the area that are going to need to be working there for some time. For those who remain under evacuation warning or mandatory evacuation, rest assured our security teams will continue to patrol those areas until you are allowed to return home. Our law enforcement partners, along with our deputies with the Shasta County Sheriff's Office, have been working diligently in those areas with directed enforcements, and to this date have made about 14 arrests for a variety of crimes. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon. My name is Dusty Martin. I'm one of the Unified Incident Commanders for the Park Incident. As you heard from our PIO earlier, the fire has grown to 399,437 acres. Of that 399,000, 53,000 acres are in Butte County, and 346,437 acres are in Tehama County. Talked about the number of personnel that are currently assigned to this fire at over 6,000 personnel. Those folks have come from all over the state and all over the nation as we've received aid from as far as Texas to come in and help us combat this fire. The Park Fire is currently the fourth largest fire in California's history. Of the resources that we do have at scene, just some really staggering numbers. We have 124 hand crews that are out working the line daily, 542 fire engines assigned to this incident, 190 bulldozers, 148 water tenders, and 41 water dropping helicopters. Those helicopters are spread throughout 3 different helibases to be able to get to the fire at a moment's notice when the air is clear for them to fly. We just ask that the residents in the area stay diligent as this fire, in some areas of the fire, we are starting to get repopulation, and that has come from the hard work of the folks on the ground, getting out there, putting the fire out, and continue to mop up those hot spots. But we want to remind you that we still have other portions of this fire that is still actively burning, and we need you to stay diligent. We have been able to accomplish a lot of things with getting folks back into their houses, but to remind you, as both sheriffs did previously, is in the evacuation warning areas, we need to ensure you are ready to evacuate if we need to at that point in time. Folks that are outside of an evacuation areas need to be prepared to evacuate if the status of the incident changes, the fire grows, and be ready to go. And you can find that information on CAL FIRE's website with the Ready, Set, Go program to prepare yourself to leave when needed. We ask that when the order does go out that you leave the area, and that allows the firefighters to get in and start fighting the fire. Over the next couple of days, there's going to be continued information. We ask that you continue to follow the all 3 sheriff's departments' websites, CAL FIRE's website, social media sites to get the most up-to-date information. The information on those sites will be vetted and accurate, and that is the best place to go to get information. We will continue to work with our law enforcement partners to evaluate and be able to get folks back into their home and the repopulation. We want you to know that it is our number one priority to get each and every one of you back into your residence. But to do that, we have to make sure it's safe, not only for you, but also safe for our ground firefighters that'll be out there working. Every day we have multiple meetings that we go over and we look at when can we start getting folks back into their house. This has not gone unnoticed and is very important to each and every one of us. With that, continue to look for additional information, these press conferences that come out every day so we can keep you up to date. Have a great day.
That was a press conference about the latest status of the Park Fire this afternoon. You're listening to special coverage on the fire from North State Public Radio. When we return, we'll hear more about a local assistance center being set up for those affected by the fire, and from NSPR's Dave Schloem about the main area of concern for officials right now, which is the Mill Creek area. Stay tuned. This is special coverage on the Park Fire from North State Public Radio. If you're just tuning in, officials working on the Park Fire say overall most areas of the fire's perimeter are holding. Their main concern now is a change in the weather and the area of Mill Creek. We now turn to NSPR producer Matt Fidler and host of Blue Dot Dave Shlohm for a closer look at the area. It's one Dave knows well.
Well, Mill Creek Canyon is very steep and very deep. That's a good way to characterize it compared to a lot of the canyons in the Lassen foothills. So it's very challenging to get fire crews in there. I know they've been trying to airdrop people in there. There's always the good news, bad news with the weather. And right now it is fairly calm. But that means that the smoke can settle into the canyon. And that makes it difficult for them to get crews in there because, you know, they want to keep them safe. They can't just drop them in not knowing exactly where the fire is. So that presents challenges. So the terrain is very steep. There's a lot of old growth in there, some big trees, which are usually very fire hardy. They resist burning. But there's just also a lot of dense growth. So there's a lot of fuel up there. It's tough to work in. There's no really roads in there, so it presents many challenges to the firefighters.
So it seems that the latest weather report says that the expected storm is going to hit a little south of us, and so we're hoping maybe not to get as much wind in that area. Does that give us any hope? Or
well, I'll tell you what I'm seeing, because I'm looking up there from my backyard, and I can see that there's monsoonal moisture. There's clouds up there now.
There is.
And there's a good portion of cloud cover up there. Whether that's going to produce lightning, that's kind of the iffy part. But just that cloud cover, that added humidity, that could be beneficial. They could even get some sprinkles, and that could be a big help.
What about wind? What does that look like? Because we all know wind is the enemy.
Right now, yeah, the wind, it's not intense wind, but the direction is pushing it towards Mineral and Mill Creek, which is, unfortunate. The good news is they've had quite a break here to get a lot of personnel into Mineral and into the community of Mill Creek. So when I'm talking about Mill Creek right now and the steep, deep part, I'm talking about the canyon, not the community. The community sits higher up as you get up out of the canyon, and they've had quite a long time now, days, to get crews in there and get prepared. So I think, all things considered, things are looking, I'm cautiously optimistic is the best way to put it.
And so, Dave, on your local front, closer to Red Bluff, what are you seeing close by? Has it changed over the last week?
Yeah, it's like a few days ago, over the last week, every afternoon, there was a lot of helicopter activity going up to hit the hot spots that were in Antelope Creek Canyon in the Hogsback region that were really, worrying people in Los Molinos to Red Bluff. But that has really calmed down the last couple of days. I'm not hearing the constant throbbing of helicopters in the afternoon the last 2 days. So that tells me, things have calmed down here quite a bit.
NSPR's Dave Shlohm, who is the host of Blue Dot, speaking with producer Matt Fidler about the Mill Creek area, which is the main concern for officials right now with the park fire. Officials say they're 90% complete with their damage assessment of the fire. As of now, more than 500 structures have been destroyed in Butte and Tehama counties. On Monday, a local assistance center is opening in Chico that gives survivors one place to go to find resources and talk with county and state officials and nonprofits. One of the departments that will be available is the Butte County Behavioral Health Department. Earlier today, NSPR's Eric Adams spoke with the department's director, Scott Kennelly, about what behavioral health will be providing residents.
So we will have staff on site from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the local assistance center who work for behavioral health. And most likely it will be our COPE team, which is our outreach team that does a lot of events, farmers markets, homeless outreach, things like that, where they can talk about what services we have available and then connect people to whatever resources they need if they want to follow through with behavioral health services.
Will there be any sort of direct mental health assistance available, or is it more going to be like logistical stuff?
I think it's going to be more logistical stuff. The nature of an LAC, it's not very confidential. It's a very big building with a lot of people, and it's hard to have a confidential conversation in something like that. We did try that back in the campfire when I think it was the old Kmart building. We turned in an LAC, and there were a few rooms in the back that we tried utilizing, but it wasn't very easy to maintain confidentiality. So mostly it'll be staff on site to talk about our services and to connect people to whatever resources they need. Someone says, for example, hey, I live up in the Paradise area and I'm interested in counseling services. Who do I talk to? It's the difference between, are you in crisis and you need someone right away, or do you want to set up an appointment to meet with one of our counselors in a day or two? And depending on the nature of the situation, we can connect them one way or another. But yeah, it's also to help people understand what resources are available, because we primarily serve individuals with Medi-Cal or have no insurance, but there are people who might come to us and say, hey, I have Kaiser, or I have a private insurance, what do I do? And we'll still help them connect to the right provider if that's an option.
Is there any other sort of outreach that your department is planning to do, like amid or even in the wake of the park fire?
So during the park fire, we were present at the shelter and offering resources there for people who were in crisis or who needed some support. There were a lot of people who were struggling, who had lost their homes or pets and things like that. And so we did grief counseling, crisis intervention services, and also connected people to resources. We'll continue to do street outreach and support no matter where people are at. And I'm imagining post park fire, there's probably gonna be a lot more people who perhaps don't have places to live and might be unfortunately going to a shelter or going on the street.
That was the director of the Butte County Behavioral Health Department, Scott Canelli, speaking with NSPR's Eric Adams. The local assistance center will be located in Chico on Pillsbury Road in North Valley Plaza. It will be in the building that was formerly the 99 Cents Only store. It opens at 9 Monday morning. And lastly, NSPR's Alex Stutzen has been reporting this week on communities affected by the fire. He's been speaking with those who've evacuated and those returning to where the fire has burned.
While the fire was spreading north up through Tehama County and towards Shasta County, officials issued evacuation orders far in advance for communities that could be affected by the fire. Places including Payne's Creek, a community in Tehama County that was evacuated. Tony Lemeshko came to the Red Cross Evacuation Center at the Las Molinas Veterans Hall in a group from a Christian rehabilitation facility in Payne's Creek.
I mean, we were trying to stay as long as possible because of how much has been invested into that property. I mean, that rehab has helped like over 1,000 people.
They stayed as long as possible. When the evacuation order came, he made sure the animals could escape their pens if needed and left. The property had lambs, chickens, rabbits, a llama, and a pig. A few days after the evacuation, Lemeshko was able to return with a police escort to retrieve belongings and survey the damage to the property.
We didn't have a lot of hope going up there because as we were driving, we were looking around and everything was just gone, basically ashes and charcoal everywhere you look.
He says he nearly gave up hope, and then he got closer.
We looked, and we saw the house, and we saw basically everything of value still standing. And we were honestly pretty shocked because looking around, everything's dead.
The house was standing, and the good news didn't stop there.
And every single animal survived. So that, I definitely consider the hand of God. There was the lambs hiding with the chickens, basically in their little enclosure, and then I couldn't find the pig. So I was kind of disappointed about that because it's a very expensive pig. But as I was basically already kind of getting ready to head back to the truck, I look and there he is standing, staring at me.
Lemeshko says he grabbed a few Bibles from the building, as well as a pillow, which he valued greatly. He had been sleeping on a bunched up flannel shirt for days. In Butte County, where the fire started, parts of the town of Paradise and the nearby community of Megalia were placed under evacuation warning. Many residents there were affected by the campfire, which burned much of the town of Paradise and surrounding communities in 2018. Gina Benavidez lost her home to the campfire and says her house was placed under an evacuation warning.
My daughter got mad at me because I didn't get out of the house fast enough to follow her to her house in Sacramento. I just kind of couldn't move. you know, and then I started packing some stuff and I'm like, I can't do this again. If this happens again, I am not rebuilding. It was too much.
Benavidez says it was hard being so close to another fire and seeing its effects.
Oh, just seeing that smoke, you know, like some days it was had that purple look like it, the campfire smoke did. And it was like, oh no, this is too close.
She didn't end up evacuating and stayed in the area. The fire avoided Paradise and Megalia. Just 5 miles away to the northwest, the community of Forest Ranch was one of the first affected by the park fire. Some buildings there were destroyed and the surrounding wilderness was decimated, leaving tall trees standing in fields of black and white ash. Zach Dice described how the landscape looked to him when he came back after the evacuation orders were lifted.
I mean, it's just the same thing as the Dixie and the campfire and all these other fires. It looks like a bomb went off in the distance.
His family was also impacted by those previous fires in the state.
We evacuated during the campfire. Didn't have to evacuate the Dixie fire, but we moved here right after the Santa Rosa burned down from Sonoma County, so it's just been fire since then.
Dice says this time the fire has him reconsidering where they choose to live.
It's kind of almost close to the final straw when you've got kids and, yeah, just coming up here, I don't know, just seeing it makes you think, like, is it really worth it to live out here?
He says it's made him consider moving his family out of state.
We're already in the cheapest, poorest part of California almost. I mean, it's out of state. You know, I'm from Ohio originally, so it's like I'd go back there. Got family in Utah and Wisconsin, Florida, some other state where you pick a different kind of disaster.
But for now, Dice says he's taking care of the house and the sheep, goats, and chickens he keeps on the property. He says his children will soon be on vacation visiting family in Utah, so hopefully they can forget about the fire for a week or two. In Chico, I'm Alex Dutson.
And that is this hour of special coverage. You can hear more interviews with evacuees, fire survivors, and other community voices on our website. We'll continue to monitor this fire and bring you any new information during All Things Considered. If you missed any of our special coverage from earlier this week, you can find it at mynspr.org or by getting our headlines podcast. Find it on the NPR app or wherever you get your podcasts. Matt Fidler, Dave Schloem, Eric Adams, and Alex Stutson produced this special coverage. Matt is also our technical producer. I'm Sarah Bohannon. Thanks for joining us. You're listening to North State Public Radio.